to send them a letter and read the letter, and we will end with a minute's silence to remember those who are suffering as a result of what is going on now in Israel and Gaza. Our first speaker is David Schnellenberg. He is a New Zealand-born member of the Wellington Jewish community and has been active in Zionist affairs for many years. David.
Shalom. It's fitting for us to be here today in Parliament grounds. Here is a symbol of New Zealand's democracy and freedom. For we are standing together to show our support and solidarity with Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. In showing our solidarity today, we are among thousands of people, Jews and non-Jews, who are doing exactly the same thing right across the world, in countries such as Australia, United States, and the United Kingdom. The reason for our support is simple. All countries have the right to defend themselves and their citizens from attack. In the last 5 years, over 8,000 rockets and mortars have been fired to southern Israel from Gaza. Some are homemade, but many are much more sophisticated and have been smuggled in from Iran and China. No other country would be expected to tolerate almost having 1 million of its people threatened by such indiscriminate and relentless barrage. Israel has the right to protect its citizens from such an outrage. But at the same time as supporting Israel's military in Gaza, we also yearn for peace. We want to see a world where Israeli and Palestinian, Jew and Muslim, live together in peace and in tranquility. And that really is the fundamental difference between Israel and Hamas. Israel wants peace. It has said that if the rockets stop, the military action will stop. Hamas's response has been to fire more rockets. In 2005, when Israel unilaterally left Gaza to the Palestinians, the opportunity was there for turning Gaza into a symbol of Palestinian nationhood and hope. Instead, it became a launching pad for increased attacks on Israel. But that is not surprising given that Hamas' own charter calls for the destruction of Israel and for the death of Jews. It was Hamas who broke the ceasefire in December with the firing of over 80 rockets into Israel. It is Hamas that has established a death cult in Gaza, where schools and the media and other channels put into the Gazan youth the highest achievement they can achieve is not to be a teacher or an engineer or a doctor, but to murder defenseless and innocent people while blowing themselves up in the process. It is Hamas that cynically fires rockets from inside the grounds of schools, mosques and homes. It is Hamas that hides behind the civilian population to hide its munitions and place them for people at the most risk. It is Hamas that places booby traps for Israeli soldiers within schools and playgrounds. It is Hamas who recently entered hospitals in Gaza and murdered Fatah opponents. And this follows on from the violent dispute when Hamas dealt to Fatah in 2007. So I say to those who are appalled and distressed by the rising number of civilian casualties in Gaza, they should be expressing their disgust towards Hamas and the harm that they have brought on their own people. For those that called for a free Palestine, they should be calling for a Palestine free from such tyranny. Peace can only come, and will only come, when everyone, from leaders to children, want peace, seek peace, and yearn for peace. That can never be peace, so long as groups like Hamas desire Israel's destruction instead. Finally, I would like to thank the non-Jewish members of the public who are here to support us today. Sadly, the world's oldest hatred is rearing its head again. Already a couple of weeks ago, two Israelis were shot in Denmark. Thankfully, they were not killed. In France and in England, Jewish homes, businesses and synagogues have been firebombed and members of the Jewish community have been attacked. Your presence here and your support for us is appreciated. I thank you. I'm Yisrael Chai, the Jewish people did.
Thank you, David. I'd just like to remind you about the olive branches that or on the sprigs that many of us are holding. The symbolism comes from the book of Genesis. The olive twig was the symbol which the dove brought back to the ark that Noah was in as the floodwaters were receding. And it brings the symbolism of peace. It has been a symbol for peace ever since that time, ever since the penning of the Jewish Bible, put it on record. And it's also a symbol of the covenant of the God of the Jews, who is also the God of the Christians and probably the God of everybody. That a cataclysmic event like the flood would never happen again. The words never again really came from that event. And of course, in more modern times, they are words which we've heard most poignantly in relation to what happened to the Jewish people during World War II. But never again is a slogan that we have to bear in mind for all awful events in world history. The Holocaust of the Jews, the genocide of many other groups of people in modern times around the world. But please remember that we hold on to the olive branch as a symbol of peace, and we particularly wanted to have it here for our rally today to remind ourselves that what we are aiming for is peace for Israel, peace for the Palestinians, peace for the whole Middle East region, peace for the world. Our next speaker is Tomer Sagi. He is an Israeli living in Wellington for the last 5 years, who has family in Israel in areas which are under Hamas rocket attack. Tomer.
Thank you very much, David. I want to talk about something slightly different now, but... Can you hear me now? Yeah? All right. I want to talk about something slightly different. I think the situation in general at the moment is quite unbearable for both sides. But I've got a cousin who lives and studies in the south of Israel. She studies in Sderot, which pretty much every day, sometimes even a few times a day, she has to run for cover for fear of dying from Hamas rockets. I think in general, Israel is taking a proactive approach to combat terror. And Tzipi Livni is the foreign minister of Israel. She stated that a war on terror is a very long war, unfortunately. The Middle East deserves peace, and I think the Middle East will get peace. We will get to a point where Palestinians and Israelis will live in peace side by side. This is a very grand vision, but this vision is shared by the Palestinians, by Israelis, and by the UN. This vision is not easy to achieve, but it's definitely it's something that we will achieve at some point. Others will try to do anything that they can to sabotage these things. Others will not stop. These others are the Hamas and other extremist groups. Hamas, in this particular case, will do anything that they can to destroy this peace. They create a huge divide in the region, and Hamas, they must be stopped, and they will be stopped. In general, peace, in my view, requires accountability and leadership, and I think only when we have those two together, this is a winning formula to actually have a long, permanent, sustainable peace in the region. Peace will only be achieved when terror is weak, which is what Israel is trying to accomplish at the moment, and when permanent safety is restored. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say, but I wanted to really appreciate everyone that came here today. It's great to see huge support of what Israel is trying to achieve, knowing that there's not a lot of information available for a lot of people living here, but it's great to see everyone here. Thank you very, very much.
I'd just like to remind you that in 1948, when Israel declared its independence on the 14th of May, it issued its declaration of independence, and that included these words. The State of Israel will be ready to cooperate with the organs and representatives of the United Nations in the implementation of the resolution of the Assembly of November 29, 1947, that was the partition resolution. In the midst of wanton aggression, we yet call upon the Arab inhabitants of the State of Israel to return to the ways of peace and play their part in the development of the state, with full and equal citizenship and due representation in all its bodies and institutions, provisional or permanent. We offer peace and unity to all the neighboring states and their peoples, and invite them to cooperate with the independent Jewish nation for the common good of all. So that last sentence from the Declaration of Independence of Israel shows how deeply felt is the hope of Israel to be able to live in peace with its neighbors. And it might be trite to say it, but all it takes is for those neighbors to do the same as Egypt and Jordan has done, recognize the right of the State of Israel to exist in peace as a Jewish state, and then all of the problems of the Middle East will simply fall away. I'd like to now read you the letter which has been written for presentation to two members of Parliament. The members are Mr. Ross Robertson, who is the chair of the Parliamentary Friends of Israel. Now, this Parliament, our New Zealand Parliament, has got friendship groups. They're groups of members who have an interest in making links with particular overseas organizations or overseas countries. And there is one for Israel. In fact, it was the very first one ever founded in the New Zealand Parliament. And Ross Robertson is the chair of that. The other letter is addressed to Mr. Keith Locke, who is a member of the New Zealand Palestine Authority Parliamentary Friendship Group. And we have addressed it to Mr. Locke because he has been the most outspoken critic of Israel for many years. And we thought that the message from this rally was an important one to give to him. I'll read you the letter now. Dear Mr. Locke, people have gathered at Parliament today under the slogan, Israel says, Palestinians yes, Hamas no, because they want to make it clear that they support Israel's aim of removing the Hamas regime in Gaza. They see this as a key step towards bringing peace to and improving the quality of life for both Israelis and Gazans, and they bear no ill will towards Palestinian civilians. On the contrary, this rally expresses sorrow for the destruction of Gaza, which accompanies Israel's military operation, and regrets the need for Israel to have taken such action, but understands the logic of it as an act of self-defense. This view appears to be shared by the Ramallah-based Palestine Authority, members of which have criticized Hamas for causing the Israeli action. Since Hamas's illegitimate seizure of power in Gaza in June 2007, it has brought and continues to bring much harm and misery to the people of Gaza, not least by firing rockets and mortars indiscriminately into civilian areas of Israel. Mr. Locke, you have spoken of the unprecedented Israeli assault on the people of Gaza, but this is not Israel's aim, which is to carry out a successful military campaign against Hamas fighters, weapons, and war establishments. Regrettably, these also include homes, schools, and mosques, which Hamas has used for weapons storage, rocket firing sites, and other war purposes. We have great sympathy for the Palestinian civilians hurt by the military actions. As you are no doubt aware, the Hamas covenant clearly calls for the obliteration of the State of Israel and the killing of Jews everywhere in the world. Your call for an end to the current hostilities is similar to the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1860, which has been rejected by both Hamas and by Israel. It does nothing for a long-term solution to the aggression which brought about the present situation. the Israeli government, the Israeli people, the Palestinian Authority, and most of the world want a two-state solution, although this is rejected by Hamas. Mr. Locke, those at the rally today share with you the privilege of living in a New Zealand which is free of the threats from Nazi Germany and militarist Japan that caused World War II. It was only determined military action by the Allies, including New Zealand, that removed that threat. That war also caused huge and disproportionate destruction to the civilian populations of Germany and Japan. The situation facing Israel is very similar, and so is the outcome of Israel's response. We fervently hope that the result will also be greater peace for the region. Please convey the views in this letter to the other members of the New Zealand Palestine Authority Parliamentary Friendship Group. There are copies of this letter available. I've got copies here. If you wish to sign one yourself and personally hand it in to Parliament. But at the end of this rally, a copy of the letter to Mr. Locke and a copy of the letter to Mr. Ross Robertson will be handed in, and we hope that they will respond. We've come to the end of the rally. Again, as the other speakers have done, I would like to thank everybody for coming, members of the Jewish community, non-Jewish supporters, everybody who has the survival and the peaceful continuation of the State of Israel and the Jewish people at heart. It's wonderful to see you here, and I hope that with the assistance of those members of the media who are present, that the message from this rally will also be spread to other New Zealanders. I now call on us all to stand silent for one minute, holding on to your olive branch as an expression of deep sympathy and concern for all those who have suffered during the ongoing military action in Gaza.
Thank you very much. Shalom, salam.